light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله سيدنا عبد المواهب الشاذلي رحمة الله تعالى عليه very beautifully states the beloved Nabi صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم blessed me with his vision in my dream and said, you will intercede for 100,000 members of my nation on the day of judgment. I asked, O my master, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how was I granted such an honor and such a blessing? He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, replied, due to your continuous sending of salat upon me. Subhanallah. Salli wa al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا حبيبي يا رسول الله and this narration is mentioned in الطبقات الكبرى of Imam الشعراني رحمة الله تعالى عليه سبحان الله a very wonderful incident first of all proving the excellence and the greatness of reciting durood and salutations and salawat and salam upon the beloved and most noble Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم and secondly obviously mentioning something very important which is شفاعت and intercession. That will not be our discussion for today, Shafa'at, but because we touched that a few points on Shafa'at, inshallah, I would like to keep in front of you that one thing you must keep in mind, Shafa'at, intercession is haqq. Means it will definitely take place on the day of Qiyamah, and the person who will open the doors of Shafa'at and intercession is none other than the beloved and most noble Rasul Janab, Ahmad Mujtaba Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who will intercede in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his ummah, for his nation, for his people, for his ummah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his sadaqah, through the blessings of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala will then open the doors of intercession and shafa'at. Subhanallah. You know, if someone denies shafa'at and intercession, then he is denying the ayat of the Holy Quran. He is denying the words of the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a beautiful incident I would like to keep in front of you. Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a scholar and a worshipper will be brought forth on the day of judgment. It will be said to the worshipper, enter paradise, and it will be said to the scholar, wait so that you can intercede for the people as a reward for teaching them etiquette. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So in the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that shafa'at and intercession is haqq. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not only mentioned about his shafa'at and his intercession, which he is going to do, rather Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned about the shafa'at and the intercession, which the ummah and the nation and the people from the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are going to do, like the ulama, the huffaz, the mufti'ani kiram, the awliya, they will also intercede. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned about their shafa'at and their intercession. Someone will say, Munasab, you know, in the Holy Quran, we do read some ayat in which there is a negation of shafa'at and intercession. So very beautifully, you must keep in mind that those Quranic verses which negate intercession, which negate the shafa'at, it actually means that nobody can forcibly intercede before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Means nobody can, ma'adallah, force Allah ta'ala, you know, that I want to intercede, ma'adallah, and if I intercede, then Allah ta'ala has to do so and so thing. Al-A'adhu Billah, Allah ta'ala is ghani, Allah ta'ala is independent, Allah ta'ala is not dependent upon anything or anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever He wills, and nobody can question the zaat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can question the af'al, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those ayat which negate shafa'at, it means that nobody can forcibly intercede before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it can also mean that there is no intercession of a non-Muslim. the kuffar, the disbelievers, those who are not be, who do not believe in Allah and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they cannot intercede, nor can they intercede for anyone, nor can anyone intercede for them. And likewise, it can also mean that an idol cannot intercede. You know, the kuffar, the disbelievers used to have this understanding that, you know, our idols, our statues, our stones, you know, they will intercede for us. They will save us on the day of judgment and they will protect us from the fire of Jahannam, whatever the case was. So these ayat was revealed to show that your idols whom you are worshipping and you think, you assume that they are going to help you, now they are going to go in Jahannam and you are also going to go in Jahannam. They will not help you. You will not help them. They are useless. Right? You are calling them your gods, ma'adallah. You are calling them your lords, al-a'yadu billah. But by Allah, they are useless. They do not have any power. They do not have anything to do. The one who is seeking and the one who is sought, both of them are weak. Allah, 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 Allah. If you want to worship, then it is only one Zat who deserves to be worshipped. One Zat who you need to worship, that is the Zat of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. So those ayat I would like to keep in front of you. It is mentioned in verse 254 of Surah Baqarah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يَوْمٌ لَا بَيْعٌ فِيهِ وَلَا خُلَّةٌ وَلَا شَفَاعَةٌ. Translation of Kanzul Iman, that day in which there is no trading, and for the disbelievers, no friendship, no intercession. So here the negation or the denial of intercession is made, but it is mentioned for the disbelievers, that for the disbelievers, there is no friendship, there is no shafaat, there is no intercession. Likewise, it is mentioned in Surah Muddathir, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. So the intercession of the intercessors will not benefit them. Subhanallah. And wherever in the Holy Quran there is the proof and the evidence of intercession, then it is in reference to the intercession of the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beloved servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on behalf of the believers, with the permission, with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will have the authority to intercede. With the permission of Allah ta'ala, they will have the authority to intercede. With the divine decrement and with the divine will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will have the authority to intercede. Subhanallah, subhanallah. In other words, on account of their rank and honor, for their status, their martaba which they have in the court of Allah ta'ala, they will seek forgiveness for the believers with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned in verse 255 of Surah Baqarah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Man dhal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'idhnih. This is a very beautiful ayah of Ayat al-Kursi. Many of us do recite it, alhamdulillah. Who is the one who can intercede in his domain without his permission? In other words, with the permission of Allah, yes, the shafa'at can take place, the intercession can take place. But if anyone thinks, if anyone assumes, if anyone has the slightest mindset that no, without the will of Allah, someone can intercede, then ma'adallah, that is not the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that is not the teachings of Islam. Yes, everyone who will intercede, even the beautiful Zat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will definitely intercede. It is haq, it is true, it is the truth, but only with the will and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Likewise, it is mentioned in Surah Maryam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. La yamlikuna ash-shafa'ata illa man ittakhadha 'inda ar-rahmani 'ahda. People are not the owners of intercession except those who have made a covenant with the Most Gracious. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Regarding intercession, amongst the entire scenario and the scenes on the Day of Qiyamah, it is written in Bahari Shariat, a short paragraph I would like to recite in front of you. All the prophets will now intercede for their followers, and so will the saints, martyrs, scholars, memorizers of the Noble Quran, and Hajj pilgrims. In fact, every person who has been granted a religious status will intercede for their associates. Those who passed away in childhood will intercede for their parents. Some people will come to the scholars and say, we provided ablution water for you at such and such time. Another will say, I gave you a clay clod for istinja. The scholars will even intercede for them too. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah Azad very beautifully says, Hirze jaan zikre shafaat kijiye. نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے. In this line of poetry, سیدی و مرشدی مجدد دین و ملت پروانہ شمع رسالت الشاہ امام احمد رضا خان اعلی حضرت states, O devotees of the Prophet, continue to make abundant mention of the beloved Prophet's intercession. حرز جان ذکر شفاعت کیجئے, نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے. Taking it as a refuge so that remembering the intercession becomes a means of goodness in the hereafter and salvation from the punishment of hell. Subhanallah. So this is the intercession and the shafa'at of the beloved Zaat, of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And with regards to the different types of shafa'at and intercession, Allama Shaykh Muhaqqiq, Shaykh Abdul Haq, Muhaddis Dehlvi very beautifully mentions, he says there are the following types of intercession. Number one, the first type of intercession is the greatest intercession. It is known as Al-Shafa'atul Uzma. That the greatest form of Shafa'at, Shafa'atul Uzma, which all of the creation will benefit by. This is specific to our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, meaning none of the other noble prophets will step forward to undertake this. This intercession will be for the purpose of bringing respite to the people, relief from standing on the plains of resurrection for such a lengthy time, to hasten the judgment and accounting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to take the people out from the severity and hardship of the day of judgment. So this is called Shafa'at Uzma, and this Shafa'at, the entire creation will benefit. The beloved Zaat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will benefit the entire creation, whether they are Muslims, whether they are believers, whether they are unbelievers, everyone is going to be benefited by the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why Sayyidi Ala Hazrat says, Aaj le unki panah, aaj madad maangu unse, phir na maanenge qiyamat mein agar maan gaya. Today you must take his refuge. Today you must take his help. Today you must seek his protection. Today you must be with him on the day of Qiyamah, when you will see his authority. Then there is no use in accepting on that day, because in that day your acceptance will not be accepted. So today, if you want to be the slave of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that is the best thing for you to do. Tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, everyone is going to see who he is, what is his status. Then there is no use of accepting. آج لے ان کی پناہ, آج مدد مانگ ان سے, پھر نہ مانیں گے قیامت میں اگر مان گیا. سبحان اللہ. The second type of shafa'at and intercession will be to admit a group of people into paradise without accountability. And this is also established for our noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. According to some scholars, this is exclusive to the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Number three, the third type of intercession will be for those whose good deeds and evil deeds will be equal, and they will enter paradise by means of intercession. Subhanallah. Number four, the fourth kind will be for those who will be deserving of hell. So the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for them and take them to paradise. Number five, the fifth type will be for an increase in ranks. Number six, the sixth type will be for those sinners who will have reached hell and they will be taken out from it through intercession. This type of intercession will be carried out by the other noble prophets, alayhimus salam, angels, scholars, and martyrs. Subhanallah. The seventh kind will be in relation to opening paradise. The eighth type will be exclusively for the residents of Madinatul Munawwara, and those who visit the resting place of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and this will take place in a unique manner. Subhanallah, subhanallah. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very briefly mentions in a hadith sharif, the summary of the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man zara qabri wajabat lahu shafa'ati, the one who made ziyarat, the one who visited my grave, my mubarak, rawza mubarak, then wajibat lahu shafa'ati, my shafa'at, my intercession becomes wajib and necessary for that person. Subhanallah, we make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to visit the beautiful rawza mubarak of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with our parents, with our murshid kareem. Yes, we have lots of obstacles. We have wealth obstacles. We have worldly obstacles. We have this, we have that. But by Allah, once the bulawa and the call is there, then all the obstacles will be taken away and removed, and will be in the feet of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Very beautifully someone said, jise chaaha dar pe bula liya, jise chaaha apna bana liya, ye bade karam ke hai faisle, ye bade naseeb ki baat hai. Subhanallah, subhanallah. We make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to visit the beautiful Rawza Mubarak of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with our parents, our Murshid al-Kareem, our family members. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, so we were discussing the shafaat and the intercession of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And because we discussed intercession and shafaat, one important factor you need to keep in mind that yes, shafaat is haqq. It is going to take place. It will definitely take place. And inshallah, we hope to gain the shafaat of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But, you know, everything is based on your aqeedah, your belief system. If that belief system is corrupted, then, you know, there is no benefit for you, not in this world, not in the hereafter. The intercession will take place, but only those who are true Sunnis, only those who are Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, only those whose heart is pumping with the love of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the love of the Ahl Bayt al-Athhar, with the love of the Sahaba Ikram, only those people will be successful on the day of Qiyamah. Only those people will gain the benefit of the Shafa'at of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Pesh haq muzda shafa'at ka sunate jayenge, aap rote jayenge, humko hasate jayenge. Sallu al habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salamun alayka ya sayyidi ya habibi ya rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad nurin min nurillah. Coming towards our topic, because we discussed in the beginning the excellence of Durood Sharif, and that was something related around intercession, so I mentioned this brief description inshallah. But coming towards our main topic for today is the I would say the worldly harms of committing sins and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah we'll be discussing that today. Before that, we'll take a short break, and inshallah we'll listen to a beautiful kalam, and as soon as we return, we will carry on our wonderful discussion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasul Allah, ya Habib Allah, ya Rasul Allah, وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے, وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, وہ پھر اس کے ٹکڑوں کو جوڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے, جو علی کی عصر قضا ہوئی تو وہ وقت پر ہی ادا ہوئی, جو علی کی عصر قضا ہوئی, جو علی کی عصر قضا ہوئی تو وہ وقت پر ہی ادا ہوئی, تو وہ وقت پر ہی ادا ہوئی, چھپے آفتاب کو موڑ دے, چھپے آفتاب کو موڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, وہ پھر اس کے ٹکڑوں کو جوڑ دے اختیار دیا گیا, وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے رخ نار ان کے غلام کو لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ, رخ نار کے خلد کو موڑ دیں، وہ پکڑ کے خلد کو موڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ پھر اس کے شکلوں کو جوڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں، وہ نبی کی مٹھی کا معجزہ کہ وَمَا رَمَيْتَ كَذِبَ خدا، وہ نبی کی مٹھی کا معجزہ، وہ نبی کی مٹھی کا معجزہ کہ وَمَا رَمَيْتَ كَذِبَ خدا، کہ وَمَا رَمَيْتَ كَذِبَ خدا، وہ نگاہ کفر کی پھوڑ دیں، وہ نگاہ کفر کی پھوڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ پھر اس کے شکلوں کو جوڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں، لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی، لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی، کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی، لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی، کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی، وہ لعاب پاک سے جوڑ دیں، وہ لعاب پاک سے جوڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ پھر اس کے شکلوں کو جوڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں۔
صلی اللہ علیہ حبیب صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ محمد صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ وسلم۔ ویلکم بیک ٹو آور سلسلہ ماشاء اللہ مرحبا۔ یو آر واچنگ مدنی چینل اینڈ یو آر واچنگ دی لائٹ آف گائیڈنس۔ ویری بیوٹیفلی بیفور دی بریک وی ڈسکسڈ سم امپورٹنٹ پوائنٹس اباؤٹ شفاعت اینڈ انٹرسیشن آف دی بیلوڈ رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، لائک وائز دی ڈفرنٹ کیٹیگریز اینڈ ڈفرنٹ ٹائپس آف شفاعت اینڈ انٹرسیشن وچ ول ٹیک پلیس آن ڈے آف قیامہ، ایز اٹ از مینشن ان اشیاۃ اللمعات بائی شیخ محقق شیخ عبدالحق محدث دہلوی رحمۃ اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ۔ کمنگ ٹورڈز آور ٹاپک، اٹ ایز آئی مینشنڈ از دی ورلڈلی ہارمز آف سنز اینڈ واٹ افیکٹ دا سنز ہیو آن آور ورلڈلی لائف۔ ٹو بگن آئی ووڈ مینشن اے بیوٹیفل نریشن، سیدنا نعمان بن بشیر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ نریٹس دی بیلوڈ رسول صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ وسلم سیڈ، The example of those who adhere to the limits of Allah Almighty and those who violate them is like those who drew lots in a ship. Some of them received a place in its bottom portion and others in its upper portion. Thus, those at the bottom had to go to those at the top for water. This troubled those at the bottom. So a person from below took an axe and began to make a hole in the lower part of the ship. Those from the top came to him and asked, "What is the matter with you?" He replied, "You were made to face difficulty on my account, and I cannot survive without water. Thus, if they take hold of his hand, they will save him and themselves. But if they leave him, they will destroy him and themselves. Under this beautiful hadith, it is mentioned in Miratul Manajih. This hadith uses a similitude to explain the importance of forbidding evil and commanding good. It has been mentioned that if the obligation of commanding good and forbidding evil is left with the understanding that the one committing wrong is only harming himself and does not affect us, then this is a wrong interpretation. This is because the effects of that sin impact the entire society, just as the one who damages the ship does not drown alone, rather all of those on the ship drown. Similarly, the crime of a few individuals who do wrong becomes a menace that spreads across the whole society. Dear Islamic brothers, sometimes we should ponder and think about ourselves. Instead of focusing only on ourselves and only trying to rectify ourselves, making us better. Yes, it's something perfect. We should do it. We need to do self-rectification. We need to do islahi nafs. We need to do all of these things. Yeah. But at the same time, we need to also have the concern. We need to also have the desire, the wish of rectifying others as well. Because there is no use that, you're just rectifying yourself, making yourself a good person. But those around you, your neighbors, your siblings, your family members, those who are close to you, they are stuck and destroyed in the well of sins. And unfortunately, there is no way for them to come out. Then you have not played your part. Because the hukum of the Holy Quran is, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. That, oh, you who believe, save yourselves and your family from the fire of Jahannam. Why should we have this rectification that we must rectify someone else? Because having this mindset that, if someone is committing a sin, no man, he's only involved in the sin himself, he's doing harm to himself, I'm not going to be of any harm, I'm not going to face any problems, any difficulties. This thinking, this thought, this mindset of yours is not correct. Why? Because many a times a sin which a person commits, he is involving others in that as well. And because of him, he is causing loss to others as well. You will say, how is that possible? I said, let's say, for example, someone went and stole something. Stealing is a wrong thing. It's a crime. It's a sin. It's a bad thing. So he went and he stole, let's say, a cell phone from the next person. Who did he harm? He harmed himself because he committed a sin. And number two, he harmed the person whose phone he stole. That person must be worried. That person must be in tension. That person had so many things on his phone which was important. His work was on his phone. His assignments was on his phone. His projects was on his phone. If he's going to school or college, maybe his homework was something was on his phone. Something important. His meetings were on his phone. And because you stole that, you caused harm to him and to yourself. Right? Likewise, a person, went and he killed somebody or he hit somebody. Who did he harm? He harmed himself because he committed the sin. At the same time, he harmed others as well. So if we are going to think that, if someone is committing a sin, he's only harming himself, he's not harming me in any way, you never know. Maybe that person will end up harming you in some way. Maybe today he's not harming you, but tomorrow down the line, maybe he'll steal something from you as well. But if you took the time to rectify him, to stop him, to make sure that he rectifies himself, to show him what is wrong, what is right, and try to make him a better person, then inshallah, who knows, Allah Ta'ala will open his heart and you will see the blessings in this world and hereafter as well. So it is very important to do self-rectification, and at the same time it is important to rectify others as well. Very beautifully it is mentioned, the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam said, O people, avoid five things in order to protect yourself from five others. Number one, the nation which weighs less, Allah Almighty afflicts them with high prices and scarcity in fruits. That's the first worldly harm. We said we're going to discuss five worldly harms now of sins. The first worldly harm which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is mentioning, the nation which weighs less, Allah Almighty afflicts them with high prices and scarcity in fruits. So this is something, because of which the previous nations were destroyed. Yes, it is mentioned in the Holy Quran as well. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions the nation which weighs less. Allah Almighty afflicts them with high prices and scarcity in fruits. Today you can see it. Our living expenses is touching the sky. Whether it's your bread and milk, whether it's your petrol, whether it's your groceries, whether it's your living, everything is becoming so expensive. People say, Munasab, rehna mushkil ho gaya, it's so difficult to cope, you know, our salary, our wages are not enough, we can't survive, we can't, it's very difficult before the month ends, you know, we have nothing in our hands, in our pocket. So you must ask yourself this question, why is this happening? Yes, there are the people amongst you who are deceiving others, who are weighing things but not weighing properly. And the words of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is, Allah Almighty afflicts them with high prices and scarcity. So yes, few of these people are doing this action, and who is suffering? The entire society is suffering. The entire area is suffering. The entire community is suffering. Number two, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the nation which breaks his promises, Allah Almighty imposes their enemies upon them. Number three, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states, the nation which does not give zakat, very important, Allah Almighty withholds rain from them, and if it were not for the quadrupeds, they would not be given even a drop of water. So we can see many places we face drought, and then we start worrying, Masab, it's not raining, the dams are empty, we don't have water for our animals, for our crops, everything is dying, the plants, everything is dying. So ask yourself that, what is the reason? When the time comes to pay zakat, are you paying your zakat yearly? Do you take out the zakat? Or do you start making excuses? Do you start looking for ways out? Do you say, no, next time I'll pay zakat? Do you give only a small amount of sadaqah and say, that's my zakat is done? Do you know how to take out the zakat? How much amount should you take out? What should be the amount? What should you take out? What shouldn't you take out? How should you calculate everything? Do you know everything from A to Z? The answer is, Munasab, no, I don't know about all of this. Then ask yourself, then when there is the drought, when there is no rain, why are you crying? Why are you weeping? Why are you sobbing? Why are you throwing tantrums? Everything is happening because of your own self. Number four, Nabi Sallallahu Ta'ala said, the nation in which indecency and immodesty spreads, Allah Almighty afflicts them with the plague. Number five, Nabi Sallallahu says, the nation which makes decisions without the Holy Quran, Allah Almighty causes them to experience the wrongdoing of their action, and He makes them have fear of one another. Allahu Akbar. How beautiful are these words of Nabi Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam. I mean, Nabi Sallallahu very beautifully mentioned these five things. Don't do these five things, and Ta'ala will protect you from the harms of it. And if you are doing these five things, then all of these harms, and we're seeing it. It's not that something we haven't observed. We observed the plague. You know, there was a time where this COVID-19 came, the coronavirus and everything. What was that? It was a plague. All right? So we have been witnessing all of this here. We have been witnessing droughts. We have been witnessing problems. We have been witnessing the high prices. We are witnessing all of these things here. And we did not accept it. We did not listen. Today we are doing all of those wrong things. Then we want to cry. Then we want to weep. You must ask yourself the question that you are doing something wrong. And until you're not going to rectify yourself, and with yourself rectify others, till then you are going to be drowned in this problems and these difficulties of this world. So this nahusat, this, I would say, this evil of sinning, of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is so disgusting, so filthy, that you know it causes lots of problems for everyone. And the only thing you can do is seek refuge, seek for the divine protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah ta'ala to forgive you, and try and rectify yourself. Inshallah, we'll take a short break, listen to a beautiful short package and beautiful words, inshallah, words of wisdom. And as soon as we return, we'll inshallah carry on our discussion. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Today, let's delve into a fascinating episode from the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his migration from Makkah to Medina. Accompanying him was Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. At this time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pursued by his opponents, who sought to capture him with a reward of 100 camels offered for his arrest. As they journeyed, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came across a camp belonging to an elderly woman named Umme Mabad, who sold food to travelers. They approached her and asked for food. Unfortunately, she had nothing to offer, and as her goat was too weak and had not produced milk for some time, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked if he could milk the goat. The lady said the goat hadn't been milked for long. It was said by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Permit me to milk it." With her permission, he did something remarkable. He invoked the name of Allah, touched the goat's udders, and they miraculously filled with milk. He then milked the goat, filling all the containers in the house. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and his slave drank their fill, yet the containers remained full and the goat appeared revitalized. Umme Mabad's husband Abu Ma'bad radiallahu anhuma returned home. He was astonished by the abundance of milk and asked his wife what had happened. She described the visitor as a man with a bright and good-looking face, leaving a lasting impression with his presence. Her detailed description of the Prophet's appearance, often quoted in books, was filled with admiration and beauty. How remarkable her description was. Let's listen to her words translated. Umme Mabad described him as a man of noticeable good looks, with a handsome face and an excellent complexion. She said he had neither a protruding belly, nor was he thin and weak. He had striking black eyes, long eyelashes, a resonant voice, a shiny neck, and a thick beard. Her description was so vivid that her husband Abu Ma'bad was delighted. The following day, when Abu Ma'bad radiallahu anhu returned home, he asked his wife to recount her description of the handsome stranger once more. Although they didn't know the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by name at the time, he became a frequent topic of conversation in their tent. Abu Ma'bad affectionately referred to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as Mubarak, meaning blessed. They spoke about him often, eager to hear more about Mubarak. Historians note that this encounter led them both to visit to Medina and embrace Islam at the hand of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This story illustrates a broader point. Those who spoke admiringly of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, praising him with respect, were themselves elevated and remembered through history. Although Ummu Ma'bad just lived in a tent, her words and connection to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have made her a lasting part of this narrative. As a poet once said,
unke jo ghulam ho gaye waqt ke imam ho gaye naam lewa unke jo hue unke unche naam ho gaye.
Whoever spoke the Prophet's name with respect, their name was also lifted high.
صلوا الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا حبيبي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى على محمد نور من نور الله ما شاء الله مرحبا Welcome back to our silsila. You are watching The Light of Guidance. You are watching Madani Channel. Alhamdulillah. Before this wonderful break, we were discussing the five worldly harms of sinning and how beautifully Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned this in a beautiful hadith. Of the five major sins, I would say big sins a person does, and the outcome is Allah Ta'ala, you know, then causes the drought to happen, and Allah then, you know, increases the prices of different things. And there's lots of explanations which we discussed before the break, and to save ourselves from all of this, we need to protect ourselves from all of these different types of sins. And we also discussed that with self-rectification, it is also important to rectify others as well. The beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has stated, "By the one in whose power lies my life, you will either command good and forbid evil, or Allah Almighty will swiftly send his punishment upon you. Then you will supplicate and your supplication will not be accepted." It is mentioned in Miratul Manaji under this hadith. This hadith clearly mentions how great of a crime it is to make excuses for undertaking the responsibility of Amr bil Ma'roof wa Nahyun anil Munkar, means commanding good and forbidding evil. How important it is to take this responsibility upon yourself. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, "You must fulfill this obligation, or you will face the punishment of Allah Almighty, and supplication will not be accepted." After this, this is a major warning. That is to say, until you do not rectify your transgression and seek forgiveness from Allah Almighty, none of your supplications will be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it's not something which you should just listen to and say, "Yes, we will do it inshallah." No, it is something which you must do it. Amar bil ma'aruf wa nahyun anil munkar. Call people towards righteousness, prevent them from evil, stop them from evil. Every person needs to do this. Don't say, no, I'm not a munasab, I'm not a mufti, I'm not a hafiz, so I can't do it. No, you are a Muslim. Your duty is you must call people towards goodness. you must stop them from evil. You know what is right. You know what is wrong. You know that looking at illicit things is not allowed. You must refrain from it and stop others as well. You know that gambling is not allowed. It's something wrong. Refrain from it. Stop others as well. You know drinking is not allowed. It's something evil. Stop yourself from it. Refrain others from doing it as well. You know stealing is not good. Stop yourself from doing it. Stop others as well. You know disobeying your parents is not something good. Stop yourself from doing it. Stop others as well. All of these things. You know what is good. What is not good. You don't have to be an alim to understand that gambling is not something good. You don't have to be a mulana to understand that drinking alcohol is not good. You don't have to be a mulana to understand that, you know, stealing is not good. So all of these things are naturally in your mind, in your system. And you know what is right, what is wrong. Your duty is to refrain yourself from doing it. Your duty is to stop yourself from doing those actions and prevent others as well. We make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to always act upon the beloved, the beautiful teachings of Islam. May Allah keep us all firm on the beautiful teachings of Allah and His beloved Rasul, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, azza wa jal, we hope to see you in the coming episodes. Till then, be positive, think positive, stay positive, remain positive. We make dua, may Allah ta'ala enable all of us to visit the beautiful cities of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Remember, instill the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your hearts, in your mind. This love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the base of your iman, the base of everything. You have this love. By Allah, you have everything. You lose this love. By Allah, you lose everything. We hope to see you, inshallah, azza wa jal. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance.